Welcome back to Business Next on the Michigan Business Network. In my conversation with sales coach and trainer Greg Coyne of Jerry Weinberg and Associates Sandler Training.
Greg, when we cover our topic here about dealing with difficult customers, what do you do when you go into your first sales meeting with a customer? You've done your homework, you sit down, you start off and you say, oh, this is not going well. This is a difficult customer. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation like that?
Well, one of the things that I like to do is my whole mission is to qualify or disqualify an opportunity, okay? And it may not be the right one in this particular case. But just because someone's difficult doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad opportunity. We've got to figure out what's really going on. So when I find myself either doing too much talking or I find myself in a difficult circumstance, one of the things I do is I'll stop the meeting. But there is a method to my madness. And what I will do is I'll say something like this. So Mike, I get the sense I'm doing a lot of the talking right now. So if you don't mind, if there's one thing that you want to make sure that we cover that we haven't, what would that be? So what it does is it slows the meeting down again. It's kind of like, for instance, football is a good analogy. The quarterbacks want the game to slow down so they can hit their receivers. As a salesperson or a customer service person, even if you like to talk fast or think fast, you still want the game to go slower. So the reason I say that, it slows it down and it allows the person to talk. Now, when they give their answer, my response to it is this. Of all the answers you could have given me now or all the things that you wanted to talk about, why that one? And it allows the person to understand it allows you to get back involved. It allows you to take control of the meeting, and it allows them to express what's really going on. Because all of the things that have been covered, maybe they were just frustrated, they wanted to vent, and they had that opportunity. Now you want to get to the heart of the matter.
Do you find it helpful to carefully watch the body language of the person you're having the sales meeting with?
Absolutely. I mean, part of what our conversations when we have a Facebook Live is to, you know, pay attention to some of the things we do. I mean, we use our hands a lot. We nod, we smile at the camera. Those are body language tips. You can always pay attention when you have a face-to-face on certain things that might prove to be, disgruntled, cold. When someone's leaning back and you're leaning in, that could be an issue because there might be a disconnect. The crossed arms, sometimes that's used as a power play. Sometimes it could be that person is actually cold.
Yeah.
Or they're comfortable with it. So
sure.
Don't automatically think certain things as well. You have rights. I've said that once. I'll say it 1,000 times on these calls. But you have permission to ask about these things. So if you get the feeling that something is going on that you want to inquire about, ask. Asking questions is your biggest help.
I suspect that very seldom do you have the luxury of saying, you know, Mike is just a difficult guy and, you know, we're not going to deal with him as a customer. You've got to figure out a way to handle a difficult customer. As you've noted here already, zero in on what are the issues that are blocking communications between you as a salesperson and this person as the potential customer. So what do? You get back to your office, you say, Mike is difficult, but I think we can really sell him on our products and services. So what do you do? What do you from that point on to turn them from a difficult customer into a happy and profitable customer?
Certainly. Well, part of it is understanding their issues. Okay, and I just talked about it a moment ago. The biggest I don't want to say weapon, but the biggest ally you've got is your questions. So you've got to be very good at understanding the prospect and the customer. So it's common sense, not always common practice. You have to ask good quality questions. If they're difficult, part of it is for them to take that emotion out of it, because you want to be able to get a customer from an emotional state into a process-driven and solvability state. Part of it too is that you're all about wanting to gather information to see if you can solve the problem or not. Because one of the things that we practice here is you have two opportunities. You have the ability to qualify and disqualify an opportunity. So not all things that look difficult are unsolvable. And I think to your point is, if you finish a meeting, you want to debrief it. So what are some of the things that went well? What are some of the things that I need to improve on? What are some of the lessons learned? And what do I need to do differently when faced with a different, or with faced with a similar opportunity or circumstance? So you've got to debrief yourself on every meeting. Once you do that, once you collect all that information, you go in for a next meeting and you try to make sure that it's not emotional. Take the emotion out of it. And if there's any emotion that's going on, it should be on their end, but why they need you in their life.
Let's say that the person who is the difficult customer, at least initially, you've got them signed up, they've signed the contract, they are customers with you now. How do you keep them from continuing to be a difficult customer or reverting back to being in a situation where it's causing difficulty between you and them in this, in the whole customer relationship?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question. Part of it is you have to seek to understand their issues. Part of it is, if we've made a mistake, we have to take responsibility for it. A lot of times in the customer service world, or even in the sales world, we have a tendency to want to pass responsibility, pass accountability. And I think it's so important, if we make a mistake, we have to own up to it. As I like to say, fall on the sword. However, what we also have to do is figure out a way to correct the problem. And if we're not doing that, it makes it really hard for someone to want to stay. And I would argue to our audience, I mean, think about the times when you've had an issue and someone didn't take care of it, or they didn't take responsibility for it. Kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And done over time, people remember that and they may want to leave. So part of it is, if it is our responsibility, if it is our fault, we have to own up to it, take responsibility, and find a way to fix it. Here's the caveat, though. Sometimes there are just difficult people who want to place blame. So I said earlier, we have to be good at asking questions, uncovering timelines, figuring out where things are going, where they've been, and do our best to resolve the issue. It may not be our fault, and that's okay. We don't want to admit to it if it isn't our fault, but we do want to solve the issue that the customer's having. That's really what they want. So we're looking at trying to find a solution, and asking for it, you know, is key. Sometimes we get that difficult customer or client or prospect that calls in, hey, can you, you know, I need this ASAP. I need this yesterday, Mike. Yeah. A lot of people just anticipate that they need it right now. But a lot of problems can get alleviated if we'd ask the question, you know, Mike, when you say you need an ASAP, what does that mean? And a lot of times, people, owners, customers, they'll say, well, you know what, Greg, if you could get it by Thursday or Friday, that would be terrific. That would solve the problem. So now we have an opportunity to schedule it in and work our people into that problem to fix it, as opposed to, you know, trying to put out fires. It can be incredibly helpful.
We'll take a quick break and come back with more from Greg Coyne of Jerry Weinberg and Associates Sandler Training right after this. You're listening to Business Next on the Michigan Business Network.